Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Let's pump it up around here. All right. Turn those Twins frowns upside down. All right, it's tough. L.A., it's the time zone difference. It's tough to play baseball in Los Angeles. People are all worked up. A bunch of people fighting about the bullpen. Judd fighting with people about the bullpen on Twitter.
I started that fight again on Friday. I'm now obsessed with 5-for-43 with the bases loaded. That's my new obsession.
Is that the official update after?
Yeah. Jeffers struck out, and that became 5-for-42, and then Gallo struck out, and now you're 5-for-43 with one walk on the road trip, 0-for-9 with one walk, bases loaded.
But think how talented you have to be to load the bases 43 times in one season, though, okay? That's what I'm more focused on.
When did Bally's hire you?
You keep loading the bases.
When did Bally's hire you? You're a secret agent.
Well, every Monday, we dive into our State of the Minnesota Twins here on Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd. Your home for daily Minnesota sports, entertainment, speculation, and therapy. It might be a combination of all three of those things in our Twins discussion. So we'll get you the overall snapshot, and then I have four categories of discussion to throw at you here today. Presented by our friends and next-door neighbors to the old ballpark, Modest Brewing, tap room in the North Loop right next to Target Field. Old MacDat got himself into a couple Supra Deluxe Premium Lagers over the weekend. You can see those cans on the screen right now. The Crooked Forest Smoked Lager in the tap room, legitimately one of the best, most unique beers I've ever had. Declan used to be just steps away from Modest Brewing, but now you're going to have to work for it. Suburb guy, a little bit more. Hopefully it's tantalizing enough.
No, exactly. I mean, look, the Giants are coming to town. The Giants rarely ever make the trip to Target Field. You got Toronto. I can guarantee you those crazy Toronto fans, which are always the most, or probably the best traveling fans that come to Target Field every year, are going to be loaded up at Modest this weekend for Memorial Weekend. It's going to be a packed and great time at Modest Brewing. And as long as some of those Blue Jays fans, who are usually very nice, just, you know, save us a couple seats outside in the patio, enjoy some sunshine. That's all I ask for from Toronto. And maybe don't hit so many bombs against the Twins off the Twins pitching. But yes, Modest, one of the best spots and a great little spot to go before a Twins game.
Yep, just steps from the field, steps from the light rail, Modest Brewing, so check them out. All right, boys, the overall snapshot here, state of the Twins on this Monday morning. They have a 25-22 record. Mm-hmm. So they're still about, they lost 4 of 6 against the LA teams. A couple tough games in there that probably could have gone either way, but 25-22 on the season. They're 3.5 games up on the Tigers, who are now the second place team in the division.
Yeah.
The Tigers, who are still trotting out the corpse of Miguel Cabrera, I think, on a regular basis.
Yes.
Didn't he like wave goodbye to everyone last year? Well, I guess when you're about to get $35 million a year.
Yeah, no, he said, straight yeah, season, he said, bye, but I'm coming back to steal your cash next season because I'm signed.
One of the innovative, I forget what it's called, on MLB tracking, but they did this sprint speed breakdown between Rich Hill was on the mound facing Miguel Cabrera, and there was a dribbler to up the right side, and Rich Hill was like still just like 1.5 miles per hour faster than Miguel Cabrera. Just two big old guys is trying their best to run the first base. It was hilarious to see it breaking down.
Someone posted a clip of those guys facing each other back in 2005 when Miguel Cabrera, I think, played for the Marlins and Rich Hill played for the Cubs, like almost 20 years ago. Anyhow, the Twins are 3.5 games up on the Tigers, four and a half games up on Cleveland. The Twins offense ranks 11th in runs scored per game, so a fringe top 10 offense. And the Twins defense and pitching ranks third in runs prevented, so third in runs allowed per game. Well, I mean, that if you told me, hey, it's going to be one of the three best run prevention teams in baseball and a fringe top 10 offense, take it or leave it, I would say I would take that the rest of the year, see what kind of damage you can do. Baseball Reference gives the Twins a 74% chance to make the playoffs, 2% chance to win the World Series. FanGraphs gives the Twins a 79% chance to make the playoffs, 4.5% to win the World Series.
Can I give you guys, just for like the state, because it's so incredible, of the AL Central, the run differentials right now?
Yeah.
Because they are, this is one of the most remarkable things. The Twins are very respectable, awesome, plus 43, okay? Nothing wrong with that. That's really good.
It's very good, very good.
Really good. The Tigers in second place, as Phil noted, minus 51. Cleveland, which, if I'm not mistaken, just got swept by the Mets, including in a doubleheader on Sunday, minus 34. Hold on to your hats, though, because that's fantastic compared to the White Sox, minus 54. And then the Royals, minus 71. That's the rest of the division.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And the Twins don't have a juggernaut team at this point. But I think the way they're currently constructed, even without a deadline move, which we're going to get to a juicy rumor on that front, by the way, later on in this episode.
Love that. Love to hear that.
Yep. Some reckless speculation coming. They have a team as constructed right now, flaws and all, that's good enough to win this division by a lot of games. So, All right, the first category, I'm going to start positive. I know that people are up in arms. The Twins lost two series in a row in L.A. There's bullpen trouble. We'll get to all that stuff. But I'm going to start positive with you guys. The first category is we finally got one. I believe tonight's starting pitcher is Bailey Ober against San Francisco. I think it's his turn tonight. The Twins have finally developed a starting pitcher. For the first time in the Derek Falvey and Thad Levine history, this is year seven.
Yep.
We have a purely homegrown pitcher that the Twins, wait, I should double check on this. They did draft Bailey Ober, right? I want to confirm. I just want to make sure before we train wreck the first. Yes, 12th round Twins, 2017.
Yep.
So out of the College of Charleston. So Bailey Ober has a 1.78 ERA in five starts this year. If you want to lump in his 11 starts from last year, so 16 starts at the beginning of last year, a 2.71 earned run average and a fielding independent pitch. A FIP, which is like expected ERA, of 2.94. So there's not like a huge gap in, is he getting lucky? He's just been really good. He's 27 years old. He's the first pitcher, from what I can tell, that's been a mainstay, rock-solid starting pitcher that the Derek Falvey, Thad Levine regime either drafted or signed as like an 18, 17-year-old international free agent. And I even have a list. 60 different pitchers have made a start for the Twins since Derek Falvey and Thad Levine took over. 60, okay?
Mm-hmm.
From the top down, Jose Berríos was here when they got here. Kyle Gibson was here when they got here. Jake Odorizzi was a free agent signing or a trade. He was a veteran. Michael Pineda was a veteran. Joe Ryan was already in AAA when they traded for him. So yep. He had spent 3 years developing in the Rays' ridiculously good system. Irvin Santana, Kenta Maeda, veterans. Bailey Ober has made the eighth most starts. Sonny Gray, veteran. Martin Perez, veteran. Dylan Bundy. Adalberto Mejia was not that good. Chris Archer, veteran. Randy Dobnak was internal.
The Dobber.
But
great guy.
I don't think he...
Really good human being.
Rises to the level. Lance Lynn, Devin Smeltzer was a trade, but also just kind of a guy. J-Hap, Bartolo Colon made five starts. 10 starts in 2017, their first year. And then the list just gets like, you know, Matt Shoemaker, Pablo Lopez, guys. Louis Varland might qualify at some point.
Yeah,
sure.
But we finally got one. We've been waiting for 7 years for an internally developed Derek Falvey starting pitcher, and Bailey Ober is him.
This is just the start now. It's just the start. It's going to just trigger an endless supply of... No, it's not. I'm just kidding.
Oh, hopefully it gets you one more, maybe.
Oh, yeah, it should eventually.
At some point.
It should, but they also, it's interesting because this starting staff right now, is based upon the fact that to a certain degree, at least for now, they threw in the towel of development, right? Maeda's hurt. They acquired Paddock. He's hurt. Malley's hurt. So, like, the ideal was, hey, if Bailey doesn't work out, we got some more here. Now, guys have gotten hurt, and Bailey's been very good and effective. But I think there was a certain recognition. Perhaps somebody told him, you better get more pitching, because so far, this assumption that because, Derek, you came from Cleveland, it was just going to be an endless supply of arms was incorrect. So,
yeah. So it's, I think at the end of the day, like, it's good that they have this level of starting pitching because it's covering up some of the blemishes, which brings me to the second category. We have bullpen dissension across Twins Twitter and Twins fan universe.
I actually got a question for you once you're done, because I have a very important analytical question. But go ahead first.
Well, I might even get to it here. We'll see. So specifically with Griffin Jacks and Emilio Pagan, there's a lot of people saying, hey, it's still kind of a small sample here. We're only 50 games in. The underlying numbers are really good for both those guys. If you look at their expected ERA versus their actual ERA, both those guys are getting unlucky, or variance is getting the best of their earned run average. Now, Griffin Jacks has 6 losses. If you want to just look at some of the back of the baseball card stats, Emilio Pagan has given up the most home runs of any reliever per inning the last 2 or 3 years. Emilio Pagan also has one of the highest win probability added numbers, which is basically what is the state of the game when you come in? What's the percent chance the Twins have to win the game when you come in? And then when you leave, did you increase the team's chances to win
or
decrease the – right. and then that gets added on, and he's one of the worst in that category. But our guy Lavelli Neal, former longtime Twins beat writer for the Star Tribune, now a columnist, says Twins Twitter – I feel like this is a subtweet to Judd, your former colleague. Twins Twitter is a cesspool of people wanting to dump players after a couple bad outings. Anyway, it's May. Stop firing people in May. Pagan actually has the third best – fielding independent pitching, which I'll call expected ERA for the audience here, among Twins relievers. So the Twins bullpen, this is the thing. Like, last year, one of the biggest complaints was, well, you keep running these relievers out. They're exhausted. They're piling up more innings than they need to. Twins starters lead the entire league in innings per start this year. So it's not a usage problem. The bullpen has just been struggling at times. So I guess my question to you is, where do you stand in this? The Twins maybe only have 1 or 2 reliable relievers at any given time right now. And you've got some guys that have been good before, like Griffin Jacks. We're struggling right now. What should the level of panic be?
Well, it's my opinion that you should not leave guys like Jacks in their current role. Like, it doesn't mean I never said what I tweeted is it Griffin Jacks is not working out. I meant in the role he's being asked to produce. So I think what you need to do as a manager or as a front office is you need to put guys in different roles given how they are pitching. I realize that bullpens are like goaltenders in hockey at times. There is a volatility that goes with them. And so the consistency is not going to be there, but it is then up to you to make the right moves or at least try different things and not leave Griffin Jacks in that role because, damn it, that's his role. I don't think that you should be gifted a role if you start to struggle. But here's my question to you as way more of an analytics guy than I am. And I'm asking this question. So I'm not coming to this from a confrontational standpoint, okay? But my question
is... You're not looking for a fight
right
now?
Yeah, I'm not looking to... Yeah, I am not looking to, like, debate
this. You talking to
me? Yeah. I'm asking you a question. Because I see this now more and more as an escape of, well, this is why Judd's wrong or people on Twitter are wrong. Where do you, between eye test and actually watching games, but also using the advanced stats to supplement that, where do you draw the line on, well, it's just all bad luck?
Oh, man. It's so hard because it's not like, I think what happens sometimes is, and this is what Lavelle is saying, and I agree with him. We're just going to get rid of his ass. ship him out of here. I'm assuming Griffin Jacks has an option left. I don't know for sure, but okay, get rid of him, send him down, whatever it is. It's not like there's a treasure trove of five lights out relievers just waiting to be called up. Boy, what are they doing? Why do they keep running? Now, Emilio Pagan, that was a big time first guess by every Twins fan with a set of eyes, right? Why would they pay him $4 million to come back again? Have you not seen enough? So I think the one that you can really look at and say, why is he still being put in situations to blow games? Emilio Pagan. Griffin Jacks probably just falls in the category of hockey goalies where it just unexplainably sometimes relievers are just not reliable from year to year. Now, if I had to put money looking at Griffin Jacks' underlying under the hood analytics, if I had to put money on something, would I say sell on Griffin Jacks or buy on Griffin Jacks? I would buy Griffin Jacks stock from now until the rest of the year. There's like a 4-run difference between his actual ERA and his expected ERA. He's still missing some bats. Like, I don't think there's an injury here. I think he's just going through a rough stretch. Now, to your point, you can't just treat him like a robot where, oh, he's going through a rough stretch. Let's keep running him out there in 1-run games, right? Like, maybe at some point you have to bring him back. But, there, again, there's not five or six great lights-out options waiting in the wings at this point. But here's my other thing. On the flip side, a guy like Griffin Jacks or Emilio Pagan, the Twins might say, if you look at the underlying analytics, their process is actually sound and the results will come. It's baseball. Sometimes a 50-game sample can just be noisy. If you just keep running them out there, everything's going to be fine. And I will listen to that argument on Griffin Jacks more than Emilio Pagan. But if you want to hold up Brock Stewart as an example on the other side and say, see, look at Brock Stewart. Look how great he's been for the Twins. So Brock Stewart, who's only been with the team for what, a couple, like a month, maybe?
Yeah, three plus weeks, I think.
So he's pitched 12 innings for the Twins. He has not allowed a run yet, Brock Stewart. He's been, just from that perspective, maybe their best reliever since he was brought in the fold. But I could look and say, well, Brock Stewart, there is a 4-run difference between his current ERA and his expected ERA. He's walked 9 batters in 12 innings and has yet to pay for it. So there's a luck factor that's going to run out with Brock Stewart on the other side of things. So I would be selling stock on Brock Stewart, buying stock on Griffin Jacks if I was a baseball stock trader. But it doesn't mean I'm looking to get rid of either one of them. You're going to need those guys to be decent for you at some point in the next couple months. So I'm very much in the middle on this. I think people are overreacting a little bit. I also think that the Twins could have done more in the offseason to bolster their bullpen, and it's kind of a here-we-go-again situation. But relievers are also the easiest thing to get at the trade deadline or before. So that's another reason why I'm not super panicky about this.
And with Pagan, last season, low-leverage situations, he was fine. Like last year in low-leverage situations, according to Baseball Reference, he had an OPS against of 678. That's solid. That's fine. This year, it's 730. He's not giving up a lot of runs in low leverage situations. The problem is when you burn almost all of your high leverage guys, which was the case going into that Wednesday game against the Dodgers, where he walks in a bunch of runs and Dodgers end up scoring a ton because they don't have anyone else there. So when you put a guy who's really good in low leverage situations and then really bad in high leverage situations, you're going to get those Pagan basically results. We can almost trademark it at this point that when he's put in high leverage situations, he's not very good. He just isn't. Got to use him right.
Yeah. Yep. So can he be in your bullpen as like your fifth reliever? Sure. Okay, cool. We need a guy. We're up. It's a 3-run game. We need someone to come in and mop up an inning or two. You're going to need a guy like that. Absolutely. And they will be able to, much like they traded for Lopez last year, they should be able to trade for someone if they need to. And the division's so bad that they can at least, if they were in the American League East, it'd be a much more urgent situation right now. But they do have some time to get this fixed and to let some of this play out internally.
And the starters have been outstanding for the most part. Like that is nice. Like they are allowing them to pitch deep into games, and the results for the most part are fantastic. So that's a huge positive.
Well, how do you feel about, cause I've seen the mob coming at you.
The mob comes
to
me a lot.
You tweeted, I think it was the Griffin Jacks thing is not working out.
Yep.
And I saw the Twitter mob come at you over the weekend and say, you need to calm down.
Calm down.
You're overreacting to a small sample size. His advanced analytics would show you that this is going to turn around. Shame on you, Judd, for overreacting.
My response is I would prefer to see him put into situations that dial down the pressure until he starts to have his luck turn. Like, sports does involve luck, and if it's bad luck, guess what? I don't want you in a really important spot until your luck turns. Like, that's the thing is there's what analytics point to at times, and I think we don't take into account, is there is changes in pendulum of things. Sometimes you get incredibly fortunate. Sometimes you don't. If the analytics tell me his luck right now sucks, guess what? I want to dial down the pressure until that changes. That's my job as a manager, as a president of baseball operations. My job is to make decisions based on everything. That's where I think sports get at times way too black and white.
So, like, here's what I would say, just looking deeper under the hood with Griffin Jacks.
But I'm not trying to dump him, just to be clear. I was just saying it's not working out. I should have put with where he's being used currently.
Yeah, well, that's fair. So here's what I would say about Griffin Jacks. The biggest thing that stands out, and some people, I get this the last few years because we do Purple Daily every day, and people are like, why is Mackey talking baseball? Stick to football. Stick to rom-coms, Mackey.
No, you should, yeah. That's a good
I did come up through the industry as a baseball guy, first and foremost, and so every once in a while I can dust off the old analytics notebook here.
Nerd.
So the biggest thing I would look at for Griffin Jacks in terms of projecting future performance, the hard hit rate against, right? I'm going to get nerdy with you guys here for a second.
Football. You're succeeding.
So his hard hit rate, this means on batted balls, what percentage of them were barreled, were hit hard? Last year, he had a 31% hard hit rate allowed. This year, it's 17%. So he's allowing half as much hard contact so far this year. And the batting average on balls in play is like 100 points higher, despite him allowing a lot less hard contact. That is the type of thing that should turn around. Mm-hmm. What that's telling you is there's a lot of weak contact that's making its way through for base hits and for damage that if you play it out over 6 months, probably won't be the case. So now, could a guy, this is where like the psychological part comes in. Could a guy get paper cut to death and now all of a sudden like his confidence is shook and he's throwing a meatball in a situation that he ordinarily wouldn't? There's a lot of human psychology in play here.
Yep.
I would keep an eye on it. But my Dr. Phil here, analytics Dr. Phil says.
There's already Dr. Phil.
The analytics point to better performance. Dr. Mackadak. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Okay. Category number three is entitled Don't Sleep on Kirloff's Impact.
Oh, yeah. I'm all on board already. Yep.
Here's the crazy thing. So what is he hitting? He's hitting let's see here. Is he still hitting 400 through his first? He's batting 341, 440 on base percentage, a 614 slugging percentage, another bomb yesterday. So he's played 14 games since making his return. His 44% hard hit rate is sixth in baseball, so it's not a fluke. This dude's just hitting the crap out of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of those five hitters that are better than him in hard hit rate, Aaron Judge, Paul Goldschmidt, and Ronald Acuna are three of them, so three of the best hitters in baseball. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, he was one of the top 20 prospects in all of baseball, according to Baseball America. He has destroyed every single level of the minor leagues through the last 5 years or so. And if he can stay healthy, he's going to be hitting second, third, fourth in this lineup, right? I mean, he has been the Twins' best hitter since the call-up 2 or 3 weeks ago. I would just say I think there's been a feeling that, oh, Kirloff's back. That's nice. Okay, maybe he can be a contributor. There's a chance that you literally injected an MVP-caliber hitter into your lineup if he stays healthy. And I don't think that's hyperbole based on where he's been at as a prospect and how he's mashed the minor leagues.
And I get the fact that the continued wrist problems have turned people into a, wait and see type. And look, Buxton has too. Like, that's the problem is like the Twins have two great players who are continually hobbled. And so it's like, okay, Phil, talk about Kirloff, but until he can play consistently. Mm-hmm. But that does not change this. He is a special player at the plate. Just watch him hit. Watch that. That home run that he hit Oppo on Sunday was a thing of beauty. This guy can flat out hit. And I'll tell you right now, if this wrist problem creeps up again and his career officially becomes derailed, it's not going to be that far behind the what if not surpassing Buxton's. Like the what if could this kid is, well, hell, I think Doogie said 3 years ago now, he will win, if healthy, an AL batting title. And I think he's exactly right. You watch this guy at the plate.
He just crushes the ball.
He's not good. He is borderline great. And when he's healthy, he is great. He can be great at the plate.
He's a barrel magnet, as they would say.
And he just, his philosophy is so fun to watch.
He's the approach. There's a certain calmness about his demeanor. Everything seems to be just very slow in a good way to him. He's got that just casual baseball confidence that you don't always see with hitters. And I just feel like we've put him in this bin of, well, okay, you know, he's had a couple stints in the major leagues, and he's, you know, he hit 250 and hit for a little power, but he just was kind of lumped in with all the other guys, the Larnix and the when Rooker was here. He's one of like six different young corner guys that we've seen come through here. He is not that. He was legitimately a top 20 Baseball America prospect as of 2 years ago. This dude, he buzzsawed his way through like basically 40 or 50 games at every level of the minor leagues until the pandemic and the wrist injuries. And they were like, yep, that guy's graduated. Yep. Let's move him up again. Move him up again. And he's doing it again in his first 14 games this season healthy. So just don't sleep on his potential impact if he can stay in the lineup.
Right? Love that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And then I'll give you the fourth category here. It's a juicy rumor that we saw on Twitter, and it's presented by our friends, the Minnesota Twins. Some tickets available. Declan mentioned it. The Giants don't come to town very often. There's some fun teams coming to Target Field, the Giants being one of them. Twins.com/tickets if you have yet to see a healthy Alex Kirilloff, if you've yet to see Bailey Ober, extraordinaire. What is he, like 6'7" or something?
He's huge.
He's a tall drink of water, as they say in the business.
Twins.com/tickets. All right, the fourth category is reckless rumors, reckless speculation.
Reckless speculation.
I don't know how much you trust this account. It's at MLB Rooms, R-U-M-S. MLB Rumors and News. And I'll just read to the two tweets here. Rumor, all caps. Dodgers, Mets, and Twins expected to be big-time players at the trade deadline and will heavily be involved in the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes.
Reckless speculation.
Whoa!
While it's unlikely he gets traded as of now, teams are preparing for the event where he becomes available heavily. I think they're above 500 right now after taking two or three from the Twins.
Yeah,
so
thanks. Thanks a lot, Twins.
They're not selling yet. And then people are like, why are the Twins the third team in this tweet? People just kind of bombarded this account with, okay, Dodgers and Mets make sense because he could easily go sign with one of those teams for $500 million or whatever his contract's going to be. But why are the Twins on here? And at MLB Rooms follows up and says, people seem to be pretty appalled that the Twins are in the mix, but I've heard it. We're still far out, but I don't think they are a team to be joking about. They are trying to build a winner.
Reckless speculation.
So how much do you guys trust at MLB Rooms?
Doogie did tell Judd and I in a bonus scoop. I don't know, Judd, was this like a week or 2 weeks ago on Tuesday that they have already formulated, they're formulating trade deadline plans already. They're already starting to kind of circle the guys that they want to go target and what they want to do and whatnot. Ohtani, though, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't buy that for a second. I really don't.
And what's that price tag?
Huge.
Like, so he's a rental.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is what's the price tag on a rental?
So rental he for would the be best baseball player in the game, though.
Well, and
not just a rental either.
And in a long time.
I think you'd almost have to pay, because it's such an unprecedented value that's on the trade market. You would essentially be trading for one of the best pitchers and one of the best hitters.
Yeah.
So whatever the price would be for, like, when you trade for Max Scherzer in his prime at the deadline, and it would cost you three top prospects or something.
Yep.
Is it fair to say that you would be giving up almost double that? Is that what they would be asking for? You're not just trading for one guy. You're trading for two guys.
And if the Angels trade him, my guess is he's not going back there then. Like, if you keep him and he hits the market, you still probably have a case to keep him. If you trade him to the Twins, I don't see him then re-signing with the Angels. So, I think the price would be absolutely enormous.
Would you give up? Let's just do this for fun. Okay.
MLB trade rooms affecting the show. I love it.
So you would be getting, let's say, 2.5 months or whatever, 2 months of Shohei, mm-hmm. and then the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He's going to sign for $50+ million a year on like a 10-year. He's literally going to have the contract's going to break all records. It'll be a $500 million contract
mm-hmm.
or more. But you'd be getting the best player in baseball for a period of time. Royce Lewis would, I would think, be the starting point in this deal.
Yep.
Royce Lewis, as a ready-made, he would, and maybe he's already been playing for the Twins for a month by that point. Would you trade like Royce Lewis, Trevor Larnach, and four top prospects?
Yeah.
For rental Ohtani.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
Every single time. It's not just you're
you'd
acquiring
only get him
a nice
for two and a half months.
And if I'll take it.
Wow.
I'll take my chances. Because even if it's Royce Lewis or maybe they want Brooks Lee too, who is also tearing up the minor leagues early on.
Would.
I would 100% plug in.
It'd be Brooks Lee. The Angels, by the way, they do have a young shortstop named Zach. I think, is it Zach Neto?
Yeah.
Zach Neto.
Neto, yeah, he's good. He played three games. Nice player. Really nice player.
Yep, but you could pretty easily move.
But Royce would play
Royce to third. Like, Rendon is broken down. He's 33. You'd probably move Royce to third. You'd have a great young left side of the infield.
Urshela is playing third right now, so yeah, he would just lose his job again.
Mm-hmm.
I would do this trade.
Oh boy, it's such an uncertainty in baseball. You're not guaranteed anything.
I think
what's tough is you'd be gutting. You got to walk the line of like, would you go into a tailspin for 5 or 6 years because you made this trade and you just gutted everyone that was going to be in your starting lineup for the next handful of seasons for an attempted run? In general, I'm with Declan. Be aggressive.
Oh yeah.
Screw prospects. Go for it all. Right. And the Twins haven't done that enough. So I'm very 50-50, probably leaning no, unless you had a real desire to pay him $500 million, which to this point the poll ads have not.
That's the thing. If you make that trade, you have to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did offer Carlos Correa $300 million.
Yeah,
they came.
Really
they did. They came underneath
so
the other.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I was a cheap shot. I'm sorry. I'd like to apologize. It's Monday. I took an unnecessary cheap shot. Sorry.
He's back above 200. So, all right, I don't know how much we trust at MLB Rooms.
But
figured we'd throw it out
there. I only consider it if I could talk to Ohtani in his camp beforehand and sign him.
But he's not going to give you that answer. He's going to hit free agency. And like,
I know. And
why would he agree to a deal before?
But that's what I'm saying is I can't give up that much for a month or 2 months.
I don't know. He's generationally the best baseball player we've seen in a long time that can hit and can pitch. I don't know why. In my opinion, this is a no-brainer for me. I don't hesitate. If they want those two top prospects plus the fill-in guys, like if it's Brooks Lee and Royce Lewis for Ohtani, Brooksy, plus fill out Brooksy, the rest
pack
of the
your
meal,
bags, guy.
No
Ober.
Problem. No
pack
problem.
Your, oh, pack your bags.
Ober. I want him too, if I'm the Angels.
You probably kicking, yeah.
Yeah, have the, go ahead.
Brooks Lee,
take
Ober,
Bailey Ober.
Okay. Brooks, so, okay, Brooks Lee. Hold on. Let's do this. Brooks Lee.
Royce Lewis.
Royce Lewis.
Bailey Ober.
Bailey Ober.
Larnick.
Well, he's just kind of a...
Well, yep. I'm just saying, well, I'm starting to fill this out. Mm-hmm. Well, I just gave you three. I mean, a top prospect.
I'm giving you the top two.
I think there's
two.
Also... Let's see what Twins Pipeline has for the top 10 right now.
Oh, there's...
So if Royce and Brooks, I think they just updated them too. Royce and Brooks are the top two prospects in the organization. Those guys go. And then you probably have to give up, what?
At least two more
at
guys.
At least two more at guys. At least two more guys. In the top 10. Top 15.
God, Julian is their fourth prospect right now. That's fascinating.
Their recent first round picks, I saw two of them are just awful. Sabato is like hitting 130.
Yeah. So you'd probably, God, I'm looking at pitchers. Their pitching pipeline is real thin right now. Simeon Woods Richardson, you probably kicking that deal.
Oh yeah,
God, Austin. Remember when Austin Martin was like their second or third best prospect?
That whole Barrios thing has turned out really weird because Barrios is. I don't know what happened there either.
Okay, it's probably you'd probably give him your top according to MLB Pipeline. Your top three prospects are Brooks Lee, shortstop; Royce Lewis, shortstop. But they already have a shortstop. But then they would figure out what to do.
Yeah, they can
maybe just have all those guys playing around. And then Emmanuel Rodriguez is the 20-year-old outfielder, left-handed hitter. He's at A-ball right now. Yep. I think you would just offer your top three prospects and like Bailey Ober and somebody else.
Where do I sign?
I don't know. Oh, man. Let us know in the YouTube comment section. Would you do something? What would the trade have to look like? Would you build off this for us? Build off it.
MLB trade right, rules.
Judd, you coward.
I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this unless you throw in Trout, too. Then we got a deal.
Okay, yeah.
Reckless speculation.
Amazing. All right, there it is. There's your State of the Twins Monday here, presented by Modest Brewing on Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd.